League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, 713-780-3776. React to Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan in studio. We appreciate him coming in. 713-780-3776. Is the number. An evening with Alex Stepney, the former Manchester United goalkeeper. It's Friday, June 8th. RSVP at 281-520-0867. This is a complete couple-course meal. Tom Clare, the noted author, has set this up. Tickets are $120, but this is a charitable thing. So this benefits the Texas Children's Hospital and Pediatric Cancer, which you know is close to my heart and Tom Clare's heart. By the way, Tom Clare now, his cancer is in remission. Believe it or not, he put that event together last year and was diagnosed with cancer a couple weeks later, which is almost mind-blowing. But, boy, we are so excited for Tom Clare, so we thank him. TomClare346@gmail.com. The information is also up at Facebook Soccer Matters. So 713-780-3776, again, is the number. Would like to get your thoughts on the Matt Jordan interview. Now, with the World Cup rapidly approaching, time to get your home theater situation sorted out. THS is the place to go to get set up for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. THS will come out. They'll give you a quote. It's my friend Jesse. They'll get you on your way to home theater installation with all the latest 4K video technology. By the way, you don't want to watch the World Cup in anything except crystal clear television. Tap into 20 years of THS experience. They can do it all. Home theater, home automation, network, lighting designs, motorized chaise, and home audio. A new home theater for the World Cup in Russia or your favorite sporting events? I think so. www.ths3inc.com or call Jesse at 281-506-7822 or you can email him, jesse@ths3inc.com. By the way, also a big thanks to our great friends over at the Gorgeous Gale. Peter's over there. And I can tell you today, the Gorgeous Gale was rocking with the Liverpool supporters group over there. My thanks to Peter and the Gorgeous Gale for all the great support of this show. TheGorgeousGale.com. They've got a great whiskey selection over there, great spirits, great beer, beautiful patio outside, the time of the year to be hanging out over there. And they show all the soccer matches as well. So get over to the Gorgeous Gale. Get over to the King's Court. These are two of our Soccer Matters pubs here, and we appreciate all their great support, as well as our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776 is the number. So we'll take any calls on Liverpool and the Champions League. We'll take any calls on whose goal was better, whose goal was more defining and more important to you. Cristiano Ronaldo with Real Madrid? The bicycle kick? Unbelievable? Or was it the unbelievable moment from Zlatan Ibrahimovic? Debuting with the LA Galaxy, spurring on a 4-3 win over LAFC in their first ever derby match. Sellout crowd. 713-780-3776. Whose goal was better, Zlatan or Cristiano? And by the way, let's get that sound from Zlatan, and Zlatan will tell you whose goal was better. Either Zlatan's lashed-in volley that caught LAFC's goalkeeper off his line from about 40 yards out, or was it the overhead bicycle kick from Cristiano Ronaldo, who just continues to score unbelievable goals? Well, here's who Zlatan thinks had the better goal.
I think he's a goal machine. He scored a beautiful goal today, but he should try it from 40 meters. And see how if it goes in.
So there you go. Zlatan, the goal machine. Now, Zlatan was once asked by someone, so what did you get your wife for your birthday? For her birthday? Zlatan looks at the guy and says, nothing. And the guy looks a little bit perplexed. And then Zlatan says, because she already has, Zlatan. Got to love that. Jose, obviously you're very happy with the results from Lionel Messi in Barcelona.
Absolutely. I thought realistically it would be a tighter game than what it was today. The 4-1 is something that I didn't expect. And I don't, obviously it's not over till it's over, but it's looking really good for Barcelona.
Barcelona, and then we've talked about Manchester City getting destroyed today by Liverpool, and Liverpool just, this was, I mean, that first 45 minutes was remarkable. 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get a call in right now, we would love to hear from you and your thoughts. We've brought up Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Cristiano Ronaldo. Whose goal was better? Whose goal was more important? By the way, Zlatan was number one in social media. I posted that up over at Facebook Soccer Matters. He absolutely blew up social media with that goal, and it went out. All right, let's go to Juan. Juan, what's on your mind? You're up, Juan.
Well, Zlatan has a lot of, well, not only a lot of goals, but many goals like that. And I think the stage that Cristiano Ronaldo did it on says it's better. I mean, if you remember that unbelievable overhead kick from 4 yards over Joe Hart in a friendly against England, things like that just seem to follow Ibrahimovic around. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, these two guys are making out-of-this-world plays. They're making eye-popping plays. They've done it consistently throughout their career. This is why Real Madrid may win it. It is pretty unbelievable stuff. Both of them did it in differing circumstances on differing stages. Thank you very much for that phone call. Right now, caller number 5, you're going to get a pair of tickets to see, yes, I am Zlatan and the LA Galaxy against the Dynamo. Caller number, no, you know what? We're going to make it caller number 10 at 713-780-3776. A pair to the Dynamo LA Galaxy to see Ibra, Zlatan. Take a break.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Glenn Davis here, host of Soccer Matters. You're Houston Dynamo back in action, and what better way to celebrate than with an ice cold Bud Light? Let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years right here at the Houston Brewery. So put on your Dynamo Orange, grab some friends, grab some refreshing Bud Light, and show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on, proudly brewed in Texas, an official beer of the Houston Dynamo and Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. It's Bud Light. Well, now here's a guy I've been trying to get on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 for a long time, and it's mostly on me, but this is going to be an interview that I think is going to open the eyes of a lot of people. It's going to take us back to the age of innocence in the 70s, the New York Cosmos, and so many romantic things, quite frankly, going on for young soccer players and teenagers like me in New Jersey, with the Cosmos exploding in America with their stars. Now, amongst those stars was a man named Santiago Formoso. Came over to the U.S. at 16 years of age from Vigo, Spain. Absolutely exceptional, technically skilled player that fit in with the likes of the Canallas, the Carlos Albertos, the Bogusevichs, Pelé, on and on we can go. Did not look out of place and looked a real symbol for any American kid. And Santiago joins us right now. Santiago, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Yes. So, listen, I want to start off. 16 years of age, you come from Vigo, Spain. How difficult is it for you to adapt to the United States and America?
I had no idea. So thank God for this. No, I didn't speak English, but I moved into the Ironbound section of Newark, where you know all the kids were Spanish, Portuguese, Polish, Brazilians, you name it. And within 5 minutes of my arrival, I walked into a park. There were some kids kicking the ball around. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was fresh off the plane, and I told, you know, I just walked into the park, and the next thing I know, I said, you know, my broken English, can I play? And they said, sure. And the next thing I know, they go, whoa, where did you come from? When did you get here? And it was like, 5 minutes ago, we just got off the plane. He goes, okay. And what are you going to do? Are you going to work? Are you going to go to school? You know, and the next, you know, what's the next thing is like, I was playing in the team within a week. Because I walked into the right situation, especially to an environment where soccer was king.
Now, I know that area of New Jersey very well, Santiago, and the Kearney area and all. And you know, I had a coach from Kearney where you grew up, who took us into these areas, and these areas were all very defined ethnic pockets with, you know, whether it's Irish, Scotch, Portuguese, German, Brazilian, you know, it was very defined. I know it's different now. But when we think of Kearney now, a lot of times many people go straight to guys that were real harbingers as well in John Harkes and Tony Meola. But I always go, you can't forget the Santiago Formoso story, and there's even ones before you, but tell me about that area and growing up and playing the game. You called it kind of in the hood.
Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't aware of it, you know. I was totally, I had no idea the history of the Kearney had as far as soccer was concerned. I just happened to walk into it, you know, by mistake, because my first year actually was in Newark. And I was not, it was like after the racial wars or whatever, the racial tension in the 60s, and I wasn't very happy with what I saw in the school system, and I pretty much asked my parents to move, and we moved to Kearney, which was only really crossing the river, and walked into this unbelievable, you know, environment of soccer, but like I said, without even knowing. And rivalry that was between the Portuguese and the Scots. And again, because of not being born here, I had no idea. But so rich in tradition as far as soccer was concerned. In my days, in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, I mean, you could have went to any park on any given Sunday, and there was games played all over the place with big crowds, like semi-professional ball. And from what I hear, was prior to my arrival, there was a semi-professional soccer being played, and there was like 5 professional teams in the area. So it was very, very rich. And again, I was not, you know, I just walked into it by mistake. It's a coincidence, pretty much.
He's Santiago Formoso, played for the New York Cosmos, 78-79, over 40 matches. If you remember then back in the North American Soccer League, it was limited opportunity for American players, and Santiago played a lot on the Cosmos, was a starter, fit right in, and I remember me and all my buddies talking, you know, look at Formoso, man, I mean, you know, maybe we can do this, you know, and it opened possibility. Did I know you may not have known that at the time for the American player, but have you come now at this point in your life to realize that you were actually motivating and providing possibility for young kids?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't aware at all. But because I was on the national, if you remember, I was on the Olympic team and the national team at the time. And I pretty much had a lot of respect for the American player just because I've played in the New Jersey select team in the early 70s and 73. We went to Germany and really cleaned the floor with the Germans. I mean, we took them to school. And out of that team came out, well, from your neck of the woods, Van Taylor. You remember Van?
Yes.
Which, you know, was a goalkeeper.
Taylor, yep.
I mean, Bobby Smith played on the national team.
Trent, New Jersey.
You know, Kevin Wells. There were 7 or 8 of us who went to the pros. So I had total confidence on the American player. I thought one of the reasons why I got into a lot of trouble in the NSL was because of defending the American player and because of thinking that we were not given the opportunities to play when we had all the right to play, first of all, because we were in our own country, and second of all, was because they were good enough to play. But I hope that I was, you know, like you said, you know, like a rain of light, sort of, that everybody would say, oh, man, you know, damn, I would love to be in this spot and have a crack at it. And I was just very fortunate. I mean, like you said, I mean, I think if I counted it at one time on the team, there were 17 internationals.
And it was an incredible team. So let's segue into the Cosmos. And again, I want to remind everybody, I'm going to keep mentioning his name throughout the interview because I want you to know who we're talking to. It's Santiago Formoso, played for the New York Cosmos, came over from Spain with his parents, but was just an incredibly technical player, one that many people admired. All right, so let's go to the Cosmos. Pelé, Giorgio Chinalia. You sign the contract with the Cosmos. You come to your first practice, and Santiago Formoso is thinking what?
Go ahead.
And you come to your first practice, and you're thinking what?
No, it didn't even work out that way.
Tell me how it worked
I tell you how it worked out. So I was playing in Connecticut. I know that you know this. I was with the Connecticut Bicentennials for 2 years prior to that.
Which was an NASL team, just for my listeners.
Correct. In the same division as the Cosmos with the Rochester Lancers, the Washington Dips, the Boston T-Men. I mean, you know, I remember at one point we had 24 teams in the league. And which is common, which is also, I don't know if it's as common today as it was back then, they had taken the franchise from Connecticut to California. So it became the Oakland Stompers or something like that. Anyway, so me being that I've migrated from Spain, my father, just remember, my father passed away in 74, and I came here in 69. So my family was all on the East Coast. Now I get notified that, you know, the team is moving to California. I said, yeah, so what? I'm not going. So what do you mean you're not going? I'm not going. I said, I'm not leaving my family behind. I moved from Spain to here. I'm not making that kind of money that, you know, you're making so attractive for me to leave. So basically, I can't even pay the rent. I'll find some. You know, I'll find a team, whether it was in Philly or it was in Washington or whatever it was, but on the East Coast. But I tell you how it did happen, how it actually happened. So I was. There was a game at Giant Stadium, and remind me if I'm corrected or not. The New York Cosmos was playing the Fort Lauderdale Strikers, where the great goalkeeper Gordon Banks played
at.
Yeah. All right. So now, you know, this is 1966 when they won the World Cup, just the starting goalkeeper for England. Well, the score must have been 7-something.
Yes, and it rained, I think, before the game. Big crowd.
I sat on the third level. I went in there, bought a ticket like everybody else, and went to see the game. And after the game, there was a restaurant that the players got together and, you know, and just bullshit and this kind of thing. And I walked in. I said, let me go in and just say hello to everyone. And I walked into Ray Klavecka. I don't know if the name sounds
correct.
Familiar to you.
Yes, I remember him.
Right. So Ray was the assistant coach in the New York Cosmos, but also the assistant coach on the national team. And I ran into him and said, Ray, listen, I don't know for nothing, but see if you can give me a hand. I have this dilemma. I said, the team is moving to California. I really don't want to go because of my family situation. Could you help me out? I mean, I know that you know everyone in the league. You know, pass the word around, see if they can just ask for a transfer, whatever. Well, within 48 hours, I get a phone call in my house. The Cosmos are going on a worldwide tour for the Pelé's farewell. Would I be interested in going?
God.
I'm like, oh, what kind of a freaking question is that? How can you even ask me that and say, oh, no, I don't want to go? Of course I'm in. So, you know, okay, we'll get you guys, you got a passport. I'm all ready to go. Let's do this. So I showed up. It's a long story, but anyway, I showed up at Giant Stadium, and who is sitting there? The first guy, I look at the, you know, I'm driving into the stadium with my brother, and I see Franz Beckenbauer, just the first guy. Let's say it's 8 o'clock in the morning, it's 7:45, because I always like to be a little early. And I see Franz in the foreground, you know, with some kiss. I said, oh, shit.
Wow.
I told my brother, stop here. There was a man. He goes, Franz Beckenbauer, I want to meet him. I said, never mind. Just let me just drop me off here. I'll walk to him. And this is my first impression. Yeah. I walk to the man, and this is God to me, because I've seen Franz Beckenbauer when I was a teenager, and I started telling you the story in 71 that we went with the select team to play there.
Yeah.
And by the way, which Bayern Munich had asked me to stay and play, but I couldn't because of my situation. You know, they asked me to stay behind. But I showed up and I go to shake his hand and he goes, Santiago, welcome to the... He knew my name.
Wow.
And I almost, you know, pissed my pants, let's put it this way. I was going, oh my God. And it does set such an impression on me that here is the one of the most world-renowned players in the world. I mean, biggest players ever of all time, especially his position. He revolutionized his position. And he knew who I was. And he should have remembered who I was because I met him one time, but that's besides the point. that was my introduction. But now, how do they sign me? It's even better. So, you know, the rest of the players came in, and then they were not that friendly. You know, to see this guy's coming in and going to take somebody's job. Because for sure, I knew I was taking somebody. There was no way I'm going on this tour to sit on a bench and watch the world. I want to play. And I let him know, thank Eddie Formani for giving me the opportunity to do this, you know.
He's Santiago Formoso joining us on ESPN 97.5. So, I mean, so you go on the tour. You eventually become a Cosmo player, right? And
let me.
Okay,
you're gonna give me 1 minute.
Keep going.
Tell you the story.
Keep going.
So we get there. We get to Tokyo, Japan, and you know we played a game. We had a great game, and we were partying and this and that. Whatever, you know, because this is the Rolling Stones on tour. This is not the New York Cosmos. This is beyond.
I can only imagine.
Beyond being describable. And it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I get a knock on the door. And I wake up and I go, oh my God, look at the clock. It's at 5 o'clock. What the hell is going on? Something's wrong. So I open the door and it's Eddie Formani and George Kanavi. And I said, yes, man. Wow. Hey, can I help you? I said, yeah, we'll just throw some clothes on. Come on, we're going to have some breakfast. I said, okay. So I think I must have done something wrong. I'm going home. You know, something's wrong. This is not normal. Well, it was very normal. They sit down, have a cup of coffee, put a contract in front of me, and says, you want to play for us? You got to sign this piece of paper. You're talking about no representation, no lawyer, nobody, no advice. I said, oh, man, I would have played for free. Of course I signed this thing. And that's how I signed it. I signed in Tokyo, in Japan.
Incredible. And then you go on to play 40-something times for the Cosmos. And, again, this is Santiago Formoso. Played with the New York Cosmos. We're kind of dipping back into the Cosmos time period. You mentioned this was the Rolling Stones on tour. I mean, the 70s was a pretty crazy time. And Warner Brothers had the ties to all the musicians. I remember going to Cosmos games that you were playing in, and you'd look up and Mick Jagger's there, Robert Plant's there.
Sure.
Tell us about how the Cosmos and their star quality, because limos were pulling up to Giant Stadium. Tell us how the entertainment world and the Cosmos came together.
Well, this is how they promoted. It's pretty much like what the Lakers did later on. Remember basketball?
Yep.
So they pretty much told their stars in the music industry and in the film industry, because they dominated that in America, and made them, well, I don't know if the correct word is made them, but let's say encouraged them and said, listen, we have a big game at the stadium. We really like you to come in and watch us play. And they loved it. And then what happened was we would do the same thing when they were playing in Madison Square Garden or whatever they were at. And we pretty much crossed synergies and became a big thing in New York to do. So if you were in New York and you were Al Pacino or Frank Sinatra or Muhammad Ali, because he also was there for his, you know, when it was big fight in Madison Square Garden. So they came to see us and we came to see them. And it became a thing to do. It became very popular, and then, of course, the central point of this was Studio 54, where we all, did our things.
So let me take you back to, because I'm a big Rolling Stones fan, so you got a good Mick Jagger or a Rolling Stones story for us?
I don't have stories, because to me, I thought it was so common that I would, you know, that they would call me up and say, Santa, listen, the boys are going to be at the Mud Club tonight. Are you in for a couple of beers? And I said, are you kidding me? Hang out with Keith Richards and Mick? Of course, I mean, let's do it. But not thinking that it was anything out of the ordinary.
So that was part one with Santiago Formoso, and it is an incredible listen, and we'll have part two for you next week. Hey, soccer fans, the real soccer pub in Edo, it's King's Court, right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins. They've got 13 TVs, a giant big screen at King's Court. They show the Premier League, La Liga, Champions League, Bundesliga, and the Dynamo. Plus, NFL Sunday Ticket. King's Court has 24 taps, full bar, extensive selection of spirits, plus wonderful pub food. I recommend the butter chicken or curry. Get over to King's Court. Say hello to Jay. It's KingsCourtTX.com. Also, another great spot in town, The Flat in the Montrose area. Flat run by DJ Sun. My good friend is a tremendous DJ as well. TheFlatHouston.com. It's the home of the best local, national, and international DJs, lending to a wonderful vibe. FlatHouston.com. Combine that with the best frozen mojito in Houston, you've got the perfect setup. Check it out, The Flat. TheFlatHouston.com. Stay with me when we come back. We go round two with New England manager Brad Friedel, the former Premier League legend and U.S. national team legend.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN. We roll on a moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-4878. Daspit Law Firm's bilingual. Now, you may get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, or 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm's going to treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Go to their website for advice at DaspitLaw.com. Or call 713-322-HURT. Daspit Law Firm, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, and we thank John Daspit. All right, here is part two, Brad Friedel of the New England Revolution. There is one thing that you don't have, Brad, and I think it's missing in Houston, and it's not something that you can magically make appear. Look, when you were a professional in the Premier League, every training session, huge pressure, internally from within competition in the team, tremendous media pressure. That healthy pressure from media and all is I got to think, something you desire in New England. It's certainly something that's needed here in Houston. I don't think there's any question, knowing the media down here like I do. That's a challenge, isn't it, to get sort of the healthy pressure in and around some of the MLS markets, and including maybe New England and Houston?
Yeah, and I think that there's a few things to that. You know, one is the ready-made pressure over in Europe or most parts of the world is promotion and relegation. The relegation element really heaps pressure on two clubs. Thankfully, I was never involved in a relegation, and I wasn't really close to a relegation, so I'm glad I never had to suffer that feeling. But I know a lot of my friends and a lot of my foes. I know them really, really well over in England and in Turkey and in Denmark, and that put a lot of pressure on. So we don't have that here, and you know there's certain things that can help with the pressure. Bonuses could possibly help, and as the game gets bigger, the media pressure is definitely one that can help. The social media side of things would definitely help put pressure on, and no player likes to read bad headlines. No player likes to get abused on Twitter or whatever form of social media it is, and all that can help with the pressure. Like you said, I'm used to it, and I welcome the added pressure. And I think one of the adrenaline rushes of being a professional player and a professional coach is putting your name and reputation on the line and let the people decide if you're good, bad, or indifferent. And then you have to be able to cast those opinions aside. And I don't really read too much media, so it's not too difficult for me to deal with. I mean, you have to go in every Monday again and get prepared for the next game. And you know, it's part of sports that I welcome. And as the game grows in the United States, the pressure will get bigger and bigger. And you're right, it is something that needs to increase, and it is year by year. And I think the players are starting to feel it more and more. The salaries are getting a little bit bigger, so there's a little bit more on the line. Players are wanting more guaranteed years to their contracts, which is something that will put a little bit more pressure internally on them. And there's a lot of, with the discretionary TAM and the GAM, in the game, there's a better quality foreign player that's coming into the league. And I think all that will help with the pressure side of things.
Brad Friedel, three times has represented the United States in FIFA World Cups and has had just an amazing career. Blackburn Rovers, Aston Villa, Tottenham Hotspur, Galatasaray, to name a few. Long-term ambition as a manager for you, if you're looking out, and I know you're focused on what you're doing right now, but how long do you think you want to manage? Is there another bar out there eventually?
Yeah, I don't have a time frame at all. I'm 46 years of age right now. I'm in a stage of my managerial career that's in its infancy. I have a young staff and a very talented staff with me. And right now, I'm sorry it's going to be a cliched answer. We are just focused on trying to be as successful as possible at New England. And we hope, like I think most head coaches hope when they go into roles, that it's a long, long-lasting relationship. I've been around this game a long, long time, and I know things can change very quickly. But right now, we are very happy here. We're very happy with the task at hand. We're very happy with the prospect of what we can build in New England. And, we hope that it lasts for a long, long time. We're also not naive, and we're not foolish, and we know that we're going to have to win games to be able to maintain a long-lasting relationship here, but that's something that I think we can do here.
Brad, how about from the perspective of kind of changing things in New England now? We see a team that'll press at different times in games. Talk to me about the pressing game and kind of take it back to that answer you had before about people sometimes pigeonholing goalkeepers as managers as defensive. Talk a little bit about the pressing element that you've added to New England.
It's a tool that we will definitely use in some games. Whether we do it as high up the field or need to do it as high up the field like we did against NYCFC, that'll be on a game-to-game basis. But I think what teams will see, they'll have difficult games against New England when it comes to trying to break us down. On top of that, we have some incredibly technically gifted players in the team with an abundance amount of pace. And I believe if we play on the front foot, so to speak, and as high up the field as possible, we have players that can hurt teams. I felt a little bit for our players because I thought they did ever so well against Patrick Vieira's team, and Patrick's put together a very, very good team. But I do think in the first half that we should have been up by far more than one goal, but that's the way that soccer is. So whether we press teams that high up the field or not, like I said, will be game to game, but it is an element that we'll try to instill. And I feel that no matter what position a player is in, they have the ability to win the ball back. I don't think there can be these days in soccer what I would consider a luxury player. And I think everyone has to do their work both with the ball and without.
He's Brad Friedel. He's the manager of the New England Revolution, also the former U.S. national team goalkeeper. As I look at last night, I'm wondering, did you watch the, I'm figuring you probably watched the U.S. national team last night. Any thoughts on that young energy that was out there last night against Paraguay?
Yeah,
a lot of players you probably worked with as well.
Correct. Cameron Carter-Vickers is a player that I've both coached and played with. And he's an outstanding talent. Tyler Adams, a very, very good player. Matt Miazga, I work with in the under 20 cycle a couple of cycles ago. There's a wonderful player who's playing at Schalke. He wasn't there. We saw him score against Portugal. Is Weston McKennie. We all know Christian Pulisic is an outstanding player. There's a lot of good young talented players. It's a shame that we didn't qualify for the World Cup. I don't think this interview is to go into the non-qualification, but I do stand by the fact that we have a lot of very good young American players on the horizon that are getting chances now to get first team minutes with the various clubs, not only in MLS but around the world. I do not think that the development structures is as bleak as some people wanted to make it. I do think not qualifying for the World Cup as product brought about some very good discussion that needed to happen with it, without a doubt. I'm not saying it's a perfect scenario out there, but the last two-year cycle has been a very successful one for the youth with the United States, and there are a lot of promising players that are coming through. So I was happy to see a lot of the young players getting an opportunity, and long may it continue, because we've got a very important, one of the most important qualifying scenarios in the history of U.S. soccer coming up for the next World Cup.
Brad, before I let you go, when I got into television, I found it was interesting. I began to look at the game a little bit differently, and I was combining it with, in the early stages, with working, running a youth club. And I remember, taking coaching points and trying to bring them out on the air and things like that. Did television do that for you? Because you've had a good run in television as well. You've called a lot of games, a lot of big games. Is there anything out of the TV experience that maybe has helped you?
Yes. There's two things that helped me coming back to the U.S. One was working with Fox, and then also working with U.S. Soccer. I had been gone for so many years, and yes, I had come back a few times here and there, but the lay of the land and the way MLS was structured, the way U.S. Soccer was structured, the way the Developmental Academy was structured, the way everything was structured was completely different. So not only being able to call the games and watch the games, but also traveling to the cities. So I could go and I could watch the academies train. I could talk to the academy coaches. I could integrate myself into the actual system, but I could also then, working with television, integrate myself into the system and the business nature of the system a little bit more, and the marketing, the commercialization of the system. So it helped me learn what the landscape was, and very quickly, that was completely different from the 1992 when I left, and then came back, and then left in 1996 or 97, whatever it was. I'd have to go back to the time that I went back over to Liverpool, and it was completely different in 2015 when I returned. So all that helped dramatically, yes.
Brad, listen, thank you for all your time. We look forward to seeing you down here in Houston with the New England Revolution. Glad to see you in Major League Soccer as a manager, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
So that'll do it for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Don't forget to come back here next Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters, Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock, the podcasts at podcastarena.com and at iTunes. Before we go, a reminder again for Bud Light. The Dynamo are back in action, and there's no better way to celebrate than with an ice cold Bud Light. Let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years, right here at the Houston Brewery. Put on your Dynamo Orange, grab some friends and some refreshing Bud Light. Show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Proudly brewed in Texas, an official beer of the Houston Dynamo and Soccer Matters, it's Bud Light. For Jose Partida, Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next week, remember, soccer matters.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.